that you'll get a lot of different answers. Now, it shouldn't be that way. Truth is always truth. But it depends on whether a person is being politically correct, which means they're lying to you, or whether you know and understand through God's Holy Spirit what truth really is. I find it harder and harder to actually discern actual truth from all the falsehood that's being fed to us every day by the news media, by people. It used to be that you could do business on the telephone. But I find today you cannot, because you can't see their eyes, you can't see their face, and you don't know whether or not they're lying to you. And people today, they'll tell you what you think they think you want to hear, or what's convenient for the moment. I know one time I needed a fan belt for a Jeep Cherokee. I was down in South Texas, 25 miles to the nearest town, and they said, I called an auto parts place. Oh, yes, we've got that family. Are you sure? Yes, oh, we've got it. I drove 25 miles one way. They didn't have it. Wrong fan belt. So they called another place. It was about 20 miles from there. And they had it. So I drove there. And they didn't have it either. They called another place that was 35 miles away. And so I drove there. I made them make sure that they had it. Are you sure this is the fan belt? They didn't have it either. I went to four different auto parts places. I drove 150 miles one way before I could get the fan belt. Now, what's wrong with that picture? Nothing seems to be the same as it once was. Everything has changed. History as we know it has been rewritten. Our children have been taught that there's no absolutes. Ethics depend upon the situation. And definitions have been altered so much that a lot of times I don't know what people are talking about. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I've had too many birthdays. I don't know. Where can I retreat to where I'll be safe and will understand what's going on around me? There is such a place. And we have the wonderful privilege of living there, if we want to. Are you tired of people telling you what they think you want to hear? Regardless of whether or not it's true. This morning, we're going to go to God's Word and see what He wants for each one of us. But before we do that, let's ask Him to help us to understand what He wants us to know. Father, we come before You because we are in Your Word. The Word that You inspired with Your Holy Spirit. The word that men wrote, prophets wrote, exactly the words that You wanted us to have before us, that we might know Your will. So, Father, as we turn to Your word, may Your Holy Spirit help us to understand. And then, Father, even more importantly, may He help us to make application. That not only will we be hearers of Your word, but that we will be doers of it too. Thank You for giving us this time when we may come aside and worship Thee and learn from Thee. And so, Father, may these next few moments be according to Your perfect will, and we will praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Solomon wrote by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Now, Solomon was the wisest man in the world and at that time, and God used him to write some Proverbs under the inspiration of his Holy Spirit. And from the very beginning, God has been the source of truth in every relationship with man. If we're seeking absolute truth, and I think that most of us are, there's only one place to find it, and that will be in the Word of God. This book has to become as important as anything in our life other than people. Because you see, people are what God is interested in. And he gave them truth in his word that they might come into a relationship with him. If we're seeking truth, like I said, there's only one place we're going to find it, and that will be with God. And as Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy, he began a song in chapter 32. And I can almost hear Moses as he sings in front of the children of Israel, all 3 million or so of them, as he was leading them out of Egypt. And in Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 4, Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 4, is the song that, a portion of the song that Moses wrote, praising God. In Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 4, he says, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he." What a song. In his song, Moses calls out to the heavens to listen. He calls out for the earth to hear. For he has a great truth to share with every living soul this side of God's throne. Verse 4 is this truth. God is our rock upon which we can build our lives. You think it was an accident that Jesus said as he was talking with Peter, after asking Peter who he was or who he thought he was, Jesus asked Peter this question, whom in Matthew 16, 15, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus was not making Peter the first pope. That didn't come for over 300 years. Jesus was talking about the rock in the Song of Moses. Every part of the body of Christ is built upon that rock. Look at what Moses said about the rock. His work is perfect. There is no error of judgment in God. James 1:17 says it best. James 1:17 says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." the truth doesn't change. As we continue to look at Deuteronomy 32:4, we see that he is a God of truth without iniquity. Is it any wonder that the world in general doesn't know our God? Because they don't know the truth. The Apostle Paul talked about getting away from the sin and contamination of the world, and he said that in order for us to do that, we would have to leave the world. And some of us are not quite ready to do that. Maybe you're one of them. But our souls belong to Jesus. If you know him as your personal Savior, if you've been born again, then he owns your soul. It belongs to him. Let's see what Jesus had to say about truth in his word that can be of a great comfort to all of us. John 4, 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. Does that mean that the person who worships God on Sunday morning with a golf club in his hand is not worshiping God? I think that's exactly what it means. You mean that the man with a fishing pole in his hand, either on a lake or out on the ocean, on Sunday morning isn't worshiping God? Yeah, I think it's a possibility. What about the person who's pushing a lawnmower across his yard on Sunday morning? Is he worshiping God? Somehow I don't think so. And yet there's one other one, because it's one of the big excuses I hear. What about the person who's keeping their pillow warm on Sunday morning because it's the only time they've got to sleep in? Are they worshiping God? I don't think so. There are some great benefits to living in truth. John 8, 30 through 32 says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said that if we know the truth and we continue in it, the truth shall make us free. What about all the people who can't seem to tell the truth? Or even recognize the truth when they see or hear it? Does that mean that they're not free? They are bound, as the children of Israel were bound when they were in Egypt. They're bound by sin. And it has a hold on them that they do not understand it. They are bound by the God of this world. Now, there's been a battle going on for thousands of years between him and God's people. We are not gaining ground. We're losing ground. At least here we are, in this country. There are countries that are experiencing revival, China, India, portions of Africa, actually even portions of the Middle East. There are thousands of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And yet so much of the world is bound by Satan. Let's look at the word and see if we can figure out a way to confront that. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." You know, it seems pretty clear that Jesus is talking about the devil here. How should the child of God react to the lying and the deceit that is taking place all around us? We should not get angry. Pastor Felber shared that with us this morning. That's not the proper response. Instead, we should feel compassion and sorrow, because those people who don't recognize the truth are on their way to hell. They don't know real joy. They don't experience true love, because that's part of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. They really are not loved. We should feel sorry for them. As we seek a hiding place for our soul in this time of dishonesty, let's look at more of what God has to say. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So that's the answer that we have to broadcast to the world. If they want truth, if they want to experience truth, real love, real joy, it will be in Jesus Christ. No other place. It's not in catching a record fish or coming up with a low score on golf or having a nice looking lawn out front of the house so all the neighbors will think, you know, you're doing well. That has nothing to do with it. It's a matter of Jesus Christ. John 14:16-17, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be able to abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and in you, shall be in you." Now we're getting somewhere. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. It's not hard to figure out who's on the Lord's side. It's just unfortunate that there are more of them out there who are not. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you know, sometimes we get fearful when we realize there's a lot more people on the other side or against us than what are with us or for us. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., I remember sitting in chapel when he would say, "One man with God is a majority. One man with God is a majority." And we need to remember that. When God's on our side, we are in the majority. And we have the truth. We can't be beat unless we surrender. As I think about it, Bob Jones used to say, "You and God are a majority." And I can say that to you this morning. You and God are a majority. You can't be beat. Our lives are so different today than they were a few years ago when God's word was respected and obeyed. Jesus knew that you and I were going to be here now, and he didn't leave us defenseless. He asked God to take care of us through his word. In the great high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed, John 17:13-17, "And now come I to thee, these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should have taken them out of the world, but that thou should have keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As we read and study the Bible, we are in the truth. Whatever the Bible says is true. Whatever the Bible teaches is truth that we must live in. If truth refutes falsehood, we must refute falsehood when we're confronted by it. Refute falsehood in love, not in anger, not in hate. By showing compassion for the people that are held captive by the devil and the lies that he fathers. There's a terrible circumstance developing within our society. It's not complete yet, but it's growing more prominent every day. And if we just look for the circumstance, we will see the wrath of God getting closer. Romans 1:18 said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Brother Felber was talking about apostasy this morning. There's so much of it. So very much of it. Even among those who name the name of Christ. As I look at what is going on in the world, I see the wrath of God being displayed in more and more situations because people don't know or recognize God. They don't understand what is happening. I really anticipated that with the election, things would improve. And in some ways they have, but in many ways they have deteriorated. As I observe our society, there seems to be less and less justice and lawfulness, more and more injustice and lawlessness. Decisions are being handed down in court proceedings that make absolutely no sense. Based upon existing law, evidence is meaningless. I believe that we have come to the time where every man is doing right in his own eyes. That's what happened during the times of the judges in Israel before they had kings. Judges 21:25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There actually is a segment of our population that denies that we have a president. Why are we surprised that they are doing right in their own eyes? We're in the midst of a revolution. Our once godly society is being transformed by those who have no love for God or for Jesus Christ. It's being transformed into a perverted mass of humanity without morals and suppressed convictions regarding right and wrong. Where there used to be respect for the Word of God, now there is the practice of the perversion and immorality with total disregard to God's Word and what He expects of us. The New Testament was written almost 2,000 years ago, and it warns us about these times. Romans 1, 24 and 5. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. You think that's not true? When a whale is worth more than a baby, when you can go to prison for shooting a Canadian goose who is leaving his evidence on your sidewalk, and yet it's okay to take the life of an unborn infant. Could you ever have imagined a time when someone who wanted to live a godly life would have to seek protection by appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court for that right? And yet we have cases right now that will be adjudicated in the next couple of weeks involving people wanting to live their life by what they find in God's Word, by the convictions of their conscience. And they have been fined and actually imprisoned for doing that. The Apostle Paul, in his first writing to his spiritual son Timothy, said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This due time, this is the due time for that testifying. We have the truth of God's Word to guide us, to provide a path wherein we can walk. Truth has not changed. People have. And we now have the opportunity to remind the world that God loves them and gave his own son for them, for the sins of the whole world. The truth is that men need to be saved. God is able to save to the uttermost. That's the truth. Let's pray. Father, we cling to you because you are the truth.